The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to BS Report, taping this on a Friday, 2 days before the Emmys. The host is here, Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm hosting them.
What is the official name for the Emmys?
The Emmys.
But is it like the doesn't have like a longer name?
No, you know what? Like the Academy Awards right. are called the Oscars, but the right. Emmys are just the Emmys. That's a good question.
I wonder why they're named the Emmys.
They're named the Emmys. It's one of those like nickname things after somebody.
It's just kind of stuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I should probably have found this out. I'm so sorry. I'm unprepared.
Mm. You did 2 hours of interviews just now before we grabbed you.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's called The Junket.
And
you
The
do
Junket.
Satellite interviews with every local ABC station in the country.
Right.
And, half of them are good and half of them are just terrible. And then the guy holds up the wrong names. The guy holds up the name Kristen and the woman's name is Renee. So I say,
oh, no.
Hello, Kristen. And she's like, and there's like something weird going on. And then people are like scrambling and
oh, God.
Writing the word Renee down. So it wasn't fun.
So what were like the three most common questions you got?
What do you have prepared? And
what do you have prepared? What does that even mean?
I don't know what they expect. It's like I'm supposed to tell them the jokes that I'm going to do. I should just do the one like, okay, here's how we're going to start this and just go through the whole thing. But
right.
they want more information than – it's ridiculous because it's like interviewing a movie director and saying, okay, so how does it end?
Right.
It's not a question you can answer. And then are you nervous is the biggest question probably.
Are you nervous?
Yeah. That's the biggest question people at in general. Like, are you nervous? Are you nervous?
I can see it for the White House dinner, maybe, just
yeah.
because like the president's there and the Secret Service and all that. But after you did that, I can't imagine.
Oh, no, I'll be nervous. You know,
you'll have adrenaline nerves, but you won't be nervous.
I mean, I won't fear for my life. I think I'll get out of there okay. But no, I'll be nervous. You know, I'm.
Yeah. But it's adrenaline nerves. It's not
yeah.
nerves, though.
But for me also, you know, I want to do well. I want it
yeah.
to go well. Afterwards, I want, if there's one person that writes something nasty, I will obsess on it. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I want 100% is the only acceptable ratio.
Stay away
me.
From Twitter for like 2 days afterwards just to be safe. So what was the third question then?
The third question was, have you ever been sexually assaulted? Which I thought was totally out of place. Really weird. And the answer is yes. No. I don't know. Just all stupid. They're mostly stupid questions.
So nobody asked you, like, what's up with Adam Carolla? What the hell is going on with
nobody
him?
Nobody asked
that didn't
you
come
that.
Up. That would have been my first
I
question.
I wouldn't have had an answer to it.
What's happening with him?
Adam's now a Fox News correspondent.
He's a Fox News correspondent. And Jay Leno's best friend.
Well, that has been gradual. That's like...
I'm sure it is gradual.
Jay's like the only kid that has a baseball mitt on the block. He's
right.
got 300 cars for Adam to play with. So.
Aren't there other like multi-billionaires who have a lot of cars that Adam can hang out with? Does he have to hang out with one of your future rivals at 11:30?
I don't know. I mean, it's so conveniently located. They're both in Burbank. I guess it works out perfectly for him. If Jay had no cars, they wouldn't be friends. I will tell you that right now. There would
well,
be no
here's
friendship.
The thing about Jay. You can show up at his garage and he doesn't care. He's happy to see you. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, but I don't even get the whole cars thing, to be honest with you. You want to hear a good Adam story?
Yes, I'd love to hear any good Adam
How many
story.
Cars does Adam have?
Adam probably has, I would say, between 18 and 20 cars.
So he comes
Vintage
over to my
cars.
House the other day to help me write some jokes for the Emmys.
Yes.
Which is very nice. And outside my house, my son is at college, and so I have his car covered parked outside my house.
Right.
He goes, he sees a covered car and he wants to know what's going on. He's like, what's this? I said, oh, it's Kevin's car. My son has a Mini Cooper, you know.
You could have covered like a 1979 Pinto and he would have
whatever
been, like,
it is. He wants
fascinated.
To look, yeah, it's like a 4-year-old with a gift wrapped under the tree.
What is that?
So he says, "What, you know?" And I said, "Oh, it's Kevin's car. You know, he's at college, and I said, I don't have any place to put it. You know, I don't have a parking space, so I have to keep it out in front of the house." He goes, "You know, I actually need a car," and I started laughing, thinking he was kidding. You know, and
like need a car for himself
to drive because he's got
for Adam to drive
to drive. Because he's got this, I don't even remember what kind of car he has. He's got some expensive Jaguar or
something. I thought it was an Aston Martin.
Aston Martin. He's got an Aston Martin. He said, "Yeah, people look at me when I, you know, people are looking at me when I drive this car. It'd be nice to have a more low profile car."
So wait a second. That's usually what happens when you buy an Aston Martin. People look at you. That's one of the reasons people buy Aston.
I don't think he thought it out that far in advance. So the next day, he sends me email. He's like, "I know you're going to think I'm kidding, but I really would like to use Kevin's car." And I said, "Fine, you can drive it." So Adam, with this multi-million-dollar collection of cars, is driving my son's Mini Cooper now.
I don't even know how to react to this story. He's the first one who tells you that he's literally a millionaire. He's literally driving a borrowed Mini Cooper?
Driving a 19-year-old boy's car while he's off at college.
So what happens when Kevin comes back? He has to take the car back and then get a ride home?
By the way, if you told me 3 years ago that 3 years from now, Adam's going to be asking if he can borrow your son's car, I would have been like, "Oh my God, what has happened?"
Oh, yeah. He's gone bankrupt.
The worst has occurred.
Our worst fears have come true.
I did tell him Kevin is coming home for the weekend next weekend, and he has to give the car up for that weekend. But then he'll have it until Christmas, I guess.
I didn't even. All right, so the Emmys. You said Adam wrote jokes for you.
Yeah.
He's actually had a strange collection of people who have contributed jokes for this, including myself.
Yes, that's right.
Who else has contributed?
Besides our writers, only three people. You, Adam, and Rob Cohen, who is a writer and boyfriend of our executive producer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shrifty?
No. No.
Which executive producer?
Jill Lederman.
Oh.
Shrifty has a wife.
No, I know. I thought Gary Shandling contributed jokes.
No, he gave me some advice.
We gave you some advice. What was his advice?
His advice was excellent, actually. He said, "You're going to have a lot of ideas you like. You're going to have a lot of good ideas." And yeah, we did. We had a lot of them. He said, "Don't try to do all of them. Don't jam everything in."
Oh, that is good advice.
I think it is good because I would try to do that. And
he's saying if you had seven great ideas, only do four of them.
Yeah, he didn't give me a specific number, but I think I think the advice was don't overdo it. Let these things kind of breathe
and
it's a better way to go, I think.
You like overdoing usually. Like you started writing jokes for this probably, 3 months ago you started preparing?
Yeah, when I was 12, I think I started working on this. But I do. I mean, you know, it's hard to resist when you have something great.
Yeah.
And you want to do it, and this is it's only works for the Emmys or something.
Right.
But you have to. I mean, that's the only thing you can do.
Well, the good news is I think your strategy is smart because you notice something that always bothers me when people host award shows.
What is that?
You see the host.
Mm-hmm.
They do the monologue. It's like, "Hey, that's great. That was funny. It's great to see that guy." You see him again like 15 minutes later, and then they disappear for like an hour. And it's kind of like the host is suddenly not relevant at all, and you're trying to make a concerted effort not to have that happen.
I am trying to. Theoretically,
it works.
Yeah, that's the problem is when they start getting behind. Like, unlike the Oscars can go long. If they go long, they go long. The Emmys can't. The Emmys have to end. I don't know why the Emmys can't go long, but they have to end?
Who's
something
they have
about
to end?
The time difference and rebroadcasting on the East Coast. I don't know. I don't know what's so different from the Oscars, but they have to end the Emmys at 8 o'clock L.A. time, so right on the nose. So they start. In fact, the first time I did the Emmys as a presenter, I had a big bit plan. I don't remember exactly what I was going to do, but I had this big thing, and they liked it, and I was doing it with this guy, and I prepared it and rehearsed it and obsessed over it, as you know, and it was towards the end of the show, and just before we went out, they said, "Your bit's cut." And I go, "What?" And they're like, "Your bit's cut." I was like, "What do you mean it's cut? Well, can we cut it down?" "No, it's out. Just present the award. We're running late." And now this is a terrible situation because, you know, I'm a comedian and every other comedian did something funny on the show. And now I have to just go out there. And the audience at home doesn't know why I didn't come up with anything, why I didn't say anything funny. So that's kind of my nightmare, you know, that. But in this case, I get to do the open of the show.
And then you have the urge where you almost have to tell the audience, "I had a bit.
Exactly.
All but it I was did, cut. So
I think what I did, because I was like, we have to do something. I don't. It was a man, and I said, let's just walk out holding hands. And we did, and nobody really noticed and didn't get a laugh.
And that was it?
Just probably people thought, oh, well, he might be gay.
What advice did Jon Stewart give you? Didn't he host the Emmys or no? Or he hosted some stuff.
Jon hosted the Grammys.
Right.
And I actually wrote for him he hosted the Grammys, yeah. Both of those. And Jon hosted the Oscars also.
Right.
So I don't know that he's... I don't think he hosted the Emmys, but...
he probably didn't. Well, yeah, he hosted some he stuff, though.
I think he went right to the Oscars. And yeah. Once you go to the Oscars, you don't go to the Emmys, I think. There's some weird kind of hierarchy.
Oh, that's interesting.
As far as award shows go, yeah.
Ooh.
And
you don't go backwards. It's like...
I didn't ask Jon for any advice. I will, though. Hopefully I'll see him beforehand. I'll run through my jokes with him.
So they're still delaying the show on the West Coast.
No, the show's live. East and West Coast.
Well,
yeah.
Then there's no reason it shouldn't run long then.
I don't know.
I think you just go
You
long.
Should talk
go
to
like
them.
20 minutes long. This has been a big year for you.
It has. It's been eventful. Yes.
And then the thing that stinks when you're having a big year is that everyone keeps pointing out what a great year you're having. It's almost like you're at a blackjack table and you're winning and you have the guy standing back and go, hey, you're winning a lot of money.
It's
this
funny.
Is great.
You're right. And it's weird because people keep saying like, oh, this has got to be this is going to be the biggest year of your life. And I go, well, I hope not. I hope that I have nothing. I hope that it's not all downhill from here. And the truth is, like, you know, it's great to be asked to host the Emmys, but it's a huge pain in the ass. I mean, yeah. it's not fun. Doing this is not fun. I know maybe some people look at it and go, well, that's got to be a great time. But, you know, it's just really like sitting in a room writing and hashing things out and trying to come up with the best option, then trying to get people to go along with the best option and, you know, trying, you know, all that stuff that goes with it. So
it's fun if you do well and then you're at the party afterwards.
Exactly.
And everybody's like, God, you're great. Great
That's
job.
Right.
That's when it's fun.
Then it's fun until the next day when I have to go do another show.
Right. Well, supposedly you were the first Emmys host ever who also decided to do episodes of your late night show that same week.
Yeah.
Which didn't surprise me.
Also known as the biggest idiot ever.
Yeah. Probably a mistake.
I don't know why. I have no idea why I did that. Months ago, they asked me, and I assumed ABC would have premiered their new shows by now.
Right.
Turns out they haven't, so it's essentially still the summer, and far fewer people watch the show during summer.
How many shows you do? Two or three?
I did three this week, yeah.
Oh.
It was dumb.
God, if only you had an agent who cared about you.
I know. Well, my agent
that's where
is
an
very
agent
busy
just comes
smoking.
In. I know. It's, that's where an agent really steps in and says, I got to look out for my client's welfare. So you had, you hosted the White House dinner.
I did. Yeah.
What was your enduring favorite story from that whole experience?
I think the best story, well, I got to sit next to Michelle Obama for more than an hour.
Striking lady.
Yes. And so nice.
Right.
And really, like, very charming, like, and very, very, you know, very down to earth. Nothing anybody hasn't said before, but
yeah,
surprisingly friendly, I have to say. You know, I figured she would be distracted and, you know, talking to this person and that person, but we talked for a long time. But I think the best part was my son, who's 6'5", is there and he's wearing a tuxedo. And everyone, they run a video with President Obama telling everyone to sit. It's like a montage of different instances where he told people to sit because they want people to sit down.
Yeah.
And everyone in this room sits. The only person standing because he's not paying attention to the video is my son. And I pointed at him and I said, my son Kevin is the only one in the room standing. And she yells, Kevin! Kevin! And he turns around. He sees that Michelle Obama is yelling at him. And she goes, sit down! And he laughs and sits down, but it was pretty funny.
Wow.
It was, to be scolded by the first lady is a rare thing for
a
kid.
You've crossed paths with the Prez before that weekend,
No,
right?
I never met him before. No, yeah.
So what was your impression?
He's great. He's, you know, he's very charismatic. He's like a
guy
you'd hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, except for he wouldn't hang out with you.
He wouldn't hang out with either of us. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought he was... He's cool. There's something cool about him.
Yeah, he's suddenly you feel like, oh, I have to impress him.
Right. Bill Clinton, I think, was even cooler because everyone said Bill Clinton was like a record executive, like had that kind of charisma.
Obama's definitely cooler.
Cooler than Bill Clinton.
Obama's black and Bill Clinton is not. Automatically cooler.
That's true.
Just inherently cooler.
Did he say anything to you beforehand like, you better not
No, he didn't. In fact, he indicated to me that I don't remember exactly what we said. I was mostly focused on Cousin Sal right. screwing with Baby Doll the whole time. So, but he said something to the effect of, yeah, do whatever. He seemed very open to being mocked.
And that turned out to be probably the best story of that whole trip. Was Sal. Cousin Sal's performance.
Well, the first story was, Sal shoving Baby Doll into the actual Rose Garden.
Right.
Which is funny because you forget it's a Rose Garden. Like, it is. Yeah. There are roses in it. And it's not that big. It's a little
and
Rose
thorns,
Garden.
Right?
Thorns. And the whole day we're waiting for Sal to do something. And, there are Secret Service guys with machine guns standing around. Yeah. Serious stuff. And all of a sudden, right towards the end of the day, Baby Doll standing next to the Rose Garden, Sal strikes and just shoves him in. People are looking at like, what the hell's going on? And then, you guys told the story, and Sal wrote about it.
Oh yeah, Sal wrote about the other
very
one.
Well on Grantland, but that was great too. Sal's comments to the Obamas with James,
basically saying that his agent didn't vote for Obama.
First he duped Baby Doll into posing for a picture with
right.
him.
That was brilliant.
And then he told the Obamas he didn't vote for them. I did too.
What's funny is that everybody who listens to this podcast only knows Sal from basically, unless they watch the show, they know him from football picks.
Yeah, it's funny.
Football
he's,
conversations.
He's Cousin Sal now, but probably people don't know whose cousin he is.
Right.
He's everyone's cousin.
They don't know that he's the world's most infamous provocateur.
Oh, they really? I think.
I don't know if, unless they watch your show, they wouldn't totally know from the podcast. I mean, they know he messes with people, but not like. They don't know, like, if he's in the White House. It is like a cobra, like you're waiting for the cobra to.
Our buddy Lewis said earlier this morning, as I was talking about Sal and some of the things he's done lately, that he said that he wishes he could make enough money so that he could just follow Sal around at all times and see what he's doing.
The best is when Sal gets the tongue in his cheek.
When he starts rocking back and forth and his tongue comes out.
Yeah, that's when.
That's a tell. That's when, like, an elephant's flap their ears, that they're about to charge.
You should have seen when Brad got voted out of our fantasy league and threw a Mountain Dew and then stormed out.
I watched the video. Yeah.
You saw the video. And people were genuinely scared. And Sal was just delighted. Like, it was like the perfect situation for him. Fear, anger.
I was trying to explain to Molly, my fiance, the whole thing with the fantasy league and Sal's rule that somebody gets voted out at the end. Have you found that your listeners have adopted this rule for their fantasy leagues?
And also, I don't like the rule. It's terrible. It adds this weird vibe to the league.
But I think that in a way you do like the rule. You just don't realize that you like the rule because it adds this tension that gets Sal wound up.
It does wind him up.
And it is so, I mean, it does add, really, it does make it uncomfortable. But that's
super uncomfortable.
Sal is at his happiest.
The best part is he's somehow immune. Nobody would ever vote him off. It was like,
well, because no one thinks like him, And
right.
Yeah, and even if you did vote him off, it's almost too obvious to vote
right.
him off.
Which is kind of the genius of the idea.
Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. And my girlfriend didn't understand that this doesn't happen in every league. She thought,
it doesn't happen in any league.
At the end of a fantasy football league, at the end of the draft, somebody gets voted off. It's like, right. No, this is, you understand, this is Sal's rule, and he just did it
right.
just to cause problems, and it's really is diabolical.
I thought he would wind down. I've known him now for 10 years, and I thought he would wind down, and there's just no sign of it.
People don't get saner as they age.
No. I'm really excited. I'm really hoping, and I think America should hope, that his son Archie becomes like good enough to be in different sports leagues so Sal can really get immersed into the youth sports culture.
Well, he's already immersed. Tremendous. Yeah.
Well, once it gets to like age 9, 10, that's when it gets really interesting. The parents start arguing about whether their kids should be playing. And
well, I've known Sal, obviously, since he was born, and I will say his son is almost exactly like him.
From a temperament standpoint.
Yeah,
yes.
In every like kind of weird way.
So you had the White House dinner. You got engaged in South Africa.
Yes, on safari.
On a safari.
Mm-hmm.
Which
To a woman.
That time. Was exciting. Which you kind of, I got to say, like the odds had once been about even, and they kind of dropped by the
Of what, engagement me getting odds. Engaged?
Yeah, when you went to like Australia or something and it didn't happen, the odds Listen, at that point, so many people got killed by that bet.
I love the fact that I'm a line in your world. And I know what you guys, I know you and Sal have something going on. I know that there are bets. I know specifically about
wedding
one
bets?
Bet. Yeah, I know there's one
there's
bet.
There's like 100 wedding bets. What
about
are you talking
Molly's
about?
Sister Kelly. I know that's what I suspected. I want to know what the wedding bets are.
Do you know that
are.
There's a bet that Daniel, that... An imbibed Daniel will then show you the list of wedding bets and get you mad at all of us. That's one of the bets.
Daniel's involved in the wedding bets?
No, Daniel's showing you one of the wedding bets. All of the wedding bets is one of the wedding bets.
Oh, it is? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I want...
Because Daniel can't, he can't contain himself.
No, he can't. He has a hard time containing himself.
Yeah.
What are some of the other wedding bets? Now, we know one of them
you'd
is...
You'd like them. They're like stuff like over-under for number of chefs invited and things like that.
Yeah, right.
Will Chris Bianco make a pizza at the wedding reception? They're all...
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. They're all stuff like that.
So, but what, you keep them quiet? Because it could affect the outcome?
Yes.
Okay. Or yeah. Because you said there are some that will make me mad, and I'm wondering about those.
Nobody knows. You're Vito Corleone. Nobody wants to make you mad. You're the head of the family. And the Godfather, like the chauffeurs and stuff, weren't like making bets about Vito.
All right.
No,
right, maybe it's better you don't tell me what they are.
We'll show you after the wedding.
Sal will know.
I don't want you to affect the wedding. Yeah, we'll show you after. I promise to show you.
It'll be great on the honeymoon night. Instead of making sweet love, I will be sitting there studying the list and fuming.
Now, you have probably more friends than anyone I know, which means you'll have to have a big wedding.
Yes.
So odds are this is the biggest wedding I will probably ever go to.
Not only that... My fiance, her mother has, I think, 9 siblings, and her father has 10 siblings. She's got 3,700 first cousins.
Right.
So
it's an Irish Catholic family.
Yeah.
Right?
It makes for a big wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be tough to whittle that down, and we don't have the excuse that we can't afford it, which is a great thing to kind of go with couples. You know,
you kind of have the privacy excuse a little bit, but. I don't see that one flying with your
fiance. To a certain extent. Yeah, but yeah, it's not going to be easy figuring this out.
I was excited you got an Us Weekly picture. Nice big juicy.
Oh yeah, we did.
Engagement picture. That was good. So that happened, and then the
it's
biggest.
So dumb.
I would argue bigger than the engagement, the 11:35 time slot.
Oh, definitely bigger than the engagement.
Definitely bigger.
It's funny because people come up and go, congratulations. And if I'm with Molly, I'll go, I want to see what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Think how many people have gotten married. I mean, probably like billions of people.
Exactly. That's
but
what
only
I keep
like,
telling Molly.
Only like 8 people have hosted an 11:35 show.
Yeah, maybe even less.
We were trying to figure this out in the office once. Like, there's never been a Fox 11:30 show.
Well, you got
show.
Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson.
Conan and Jay.
David Letterman, Conan, Jay. Oh, yeah, there's more, actually, yeah.
Pat Sajak.
Yeah, was that? I don't think that was on at 11:30.
I think it was.
A syndicated show.
Pat Sajak was CBS.
Rick Dees. Into the Night with Rick Dees.
Was Alan Thicke 11:30?
Alan Thicke was syndicated, too, so probably not exactly
The
that.
Point is, it's not a long list.
No.
And there's never, to my knowledge, been an 11:30 ABC host.
Maybe Dick Cavett was on, I think, at 11:30 on ABC.
Yeah. So this was, and what shocked me, I thought when, knowing the announcement was coming, I just figured because, people love to do the counter angle or the backlash angle or whatever. I thought people would be like, oh, look at ABC. They knocked off Nightline. This is terrible. And instead, you got like the most positive press I think I've ever seen in my life about this, which doesn't happen in 2012.
Yeah, it was
like a unanimous, like everybody was like, oh, he worked hard for it. He deserved it. That was it.
I was
kind of
surprised. I don't know if that had as much to do with me as Nightline doesn't cover as much hard news. So it wasn't as sacred a cow anymore.
Yeah.
I think that had something to do with it, too.
Well, it was smart that they said it was there's a Friday night show they're gonna do, so it wasn't like it's getting canceled.
Yeah,
plus it's still gonna be on.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
But were
still
you afraid
on.
Going into that you were gonna get a little bit of bad press? Maybe
not really. I really wasn't.
I was afraid. I don't know
why.
I was
just excited about it.
Yeah,
people say things and then it fades. I mean, I did an interview this morning with a guy who was very critical of my show, our show at the time when we went on the air. And it's just kind of funny to be sitting with him almost 10 years later as I'm about to host the Emmys. And he said, when you came on, a lot of people were, I said, you were the one that was critical. He's like, oh, yeah, I was. And you know, it's, I mean, it's just different. It's weird. It's like all those people. I want those people held accountable.
Well, all the people who wrote bad things?
Yes, exactly.
I would love to see some of those old shows. You've destroyed all the first year of shows on, I mean, they're not online, are they?
They're not online, but we have all of them. We can't, because of union rules, we can't put that stuff. If it's more than a year old, we can't put it online unless
we
pay something.
Jeff Ross Week is still one of the great weeks in the history of television. Well,
every week is Jeff Ross Week for us. You're so sad that The Burn has come to an
end.
Oh,
I'm devastated. It was my favorite show.
I know it was. For so many reasons.
I loved it. Getting to see him read off a teleprompter,
More than anything, I miss your emailed analyses of
the show. Oh, yeah. I used to break them down. It was good. I was so glad he worked Antique into the last episode.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I was getting worried. Yeah, We're getting towards the end there, and Antique hadn't been mentioned. She passed away, you know.
I know. So you have 10 years. The 10-year anniversary of the show will basically be when you launch. It's
same month. Yeah, it's 2 weeks later is our 10-year anniversary.
Right. So you're relaunching at 11:35 on January 7th?
8th.
January 8th. And then the 10-year anniversary, I think, is the 26th or around that.
Right around there. Yeah.
And there, I don't know if you can talk about this, but you were talking about recreating the exact same show that you had for the first episode.
I would like to do that, yeah.
It's conceivable.
If it is conceivable, yes. Our first show... Well, Snoop Dogg was the co-host. George Clooney was the guest. Warren Sapp flew in via helicopter.
Right.
That part, the show was an hour and a half, that first show. So I think since it's not the Super Bowl, we might cut that part out.
It was an hour and a half?
Yeah.
And Daniel still had George Clooney for 3 minutes?
Something like that. We were supposed to interview John Gruden via satellite, but he never showed up. And so I interviewed
a plant. Yeah, that was good. It was a good plant interview, though.
And then Coldplay was the band.
On Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. That would be a good show for a 10-year. I mean, it'd be nice to put that back together.
To see that show be put back together. Plus, everybody's alive.
Yeah.
You actually know Clooney a little bit now. It wouldn't be far-fetched for him to be on.
Mm-hmm. Snoop is a free man. He hasn't been in prison.
He's now Snoop Lion.
He's now a lion.
He's now a lion, which I don't know if that makes him harder to book. And then you could do the Coldplay Hollywood Boulevard thing again.
I think we could, yeah. It's just logistics.
You know... I was thinking about how much Hollywood Boulevard still isn't all the way back. But remember when we were launching that show, like what a pit Hollywood Boulevard was? It was like one of the first good things that was happening in that area.
It's still not great.
It's not great, but it's better.
It's definitely better. But there's still a lot of scary individuals out there. It's a great thing because people get out of jail and the first thing they do is they go buy a Batman costume. Right. And then they just walk around and that's how they make money. Nobody suspects them. Ironically, America's greatest heroes in reality are actually criminals.
Right. And you've had some of those people on your show.
Yeah, we have them on the show all the time. They're for those who have not visited Hollywood, there are these guys and women that dress in character, and they're panhandlers, basically.
But they don't smell good.
They don't smell good.
No.
It's hot. Their costumes don't get dry cleaned, and little kids get excited about seeing them, but it's weird because they expect you to tip them. I don't know what people think, but people go, they take a picture, and they think, I guess he's paid by the town to come be a superhero on the street, but they're not paid by anybody, and so there's no real regulation of them. There's no Justice League for these superheroes.
It is weird that they're not regulated or really watched at all.
They're watched a little bit, but only because there was some some criminal activity going on.
Yeah.
Most of them are very nice and just odd people who wound up in the pool filter of America that is Hollywood. But a lot of them are sketchy characters.
And the other things that have changed, the first year you were in a cave.
I was down in the basement of our building.
Your office was in a cave. You have no sunlight all day for 5 days a week. And now you actually have windows.
You know, what's funny is I asked if I could move into an office that had windows. And for about 6 months, they hemmed and hawed. I think they didn't know whether they were going to pick the show up or not.
Yeah,
so
they're like, damn,
they decided we're just going to wait and see if we're going to pick the show up. And then when they did pick finally pick the show up, then they're like, well, we don't know if we're going to pick it up for next year. So maybe if we drag our feet long enough, we can wait and see. And then finally, I was like, I have got to get some, because I'm at the
office. I'm dying.
I would sleep over there a lot, as you remember. And, you know, I mean, literally, like, being without sunshine is...
It's not healthy.
It makes you a little crazy, too. And, like, on the weekends, I'd wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes I'd just go stand outside. Like, I was so starved for vitamin D. But they told me, they said, if it costs more than $50,000 to renovate upstairs, then you can't move. You have to stay in the basement. And so I sat there and just kind of kept my fingers crossed, hoping that it would cost less than, and it did cost less than $50,000. And now I'm upstairs in the sun.
And the lunches have changed. We used to eat very unhealthy. Remember when I got Chinese food banned and Corolla got, it was the maddest he's ever been at me. What's Chinese food have to do with comedy? Like, everyone's in a coma after we have Chinese food.
Yeah, the food's supposed to be healthy, and we have a caterer now, and I told her, you just make some healthy stuff. And then, like on Wednesday, it was lasagna. That was the, it was just.
Oh, no. That's not.
I said, you know, what happened to the healthy? And people are like, oh, well, we like this. Like, yeah, but if we want to get unhealthy food, we can get good stuff that's made by a restaurant.
Right.
We're supposed to be eating healthier. Mm. Things have changed.
So you're going to 11:35. Yes. You're competing against your favorite human being of all time.
David Letterman.
I know.
I thought you were being sarcastic and we're going to see Jay Leno.
No.
Well, we're already competing against him. I know it's head to head.
This is different, though.
It is a little different.
You're coming out at the exact same time as him.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it'll be okay. I think that...
You keep telling yourself that.
I do think it'll be okay. It's not like I'm going to destroy him or anything. I mean, I don't think there'll be... I think, you know, mostly the effect will be sometimes
what's good for you is bad for him.
All right, I won't go on at 11:30.
He's an old man. He just wanted to hang on for a few more years. Now you're coming.
I would always have been happy to follow him.
Mm.
Yeah.
That could have been a possibility at various points over the last few years.
I mean, not that I ever, that ever was a reality or anything like that, but.
But you're as spiteful of a human being as I am, and over the, you know.
Probably more.
Yeah. And you remember every slight that anybody's ever done to you.
Yeah.
And ABC, like even as recently as 4 years ago, they had the reality TV show host. They hosted the Emmys instead of you. And
yeah. That was disappointing.
Yeah, that was disappointing. And, you know, it took 10 years for you to get that time slot. Like, there must be a part of you that just wants to go. Hold middle fingers and
a little bit, but I don't really look at it like that. I mean, first of all, I think that if you asked me 5 years ago if I was ready to move to 11:30, I would have said yes, I'm ready.
And but you weren't ready.
But I don't think I was ready.
I don't think you're ready.
In fact, I'm probably not ready now.
No, you're ready now. You've been ready for a year and a half.
But also, you know, I mean, you know, these like people at ABC, I have not. I mean, these people kept me on the air. You know,
right?
No matter. Yeah, we had some like rocky times, but. A lot of it was my fault, and you know, it's not like I didn't cause trouble. I mean, you know, we definitely there was some commotion from time to time, and I can be very hard headed, as you know.
Yes,
and I like to do things my way, and even if it goes poorly, at least I blame myself. You know,
right.
And so they believed in me intermittently, but ultimately, you know, they kept signing me over and over again for 10 years. And so I'm grateful to them. And you know what I have to say, the slights, remembering those things, that definitely fades as you get older and become more successful. You kind of don't even think about it. It's funny, I was talking to Carson Daly the other day. They were these guys, we did a morning radio show together when he was 19. I was... like 25 or 26 years old, and there were these this morning team across the way. I don't even remember what their real names were, but we called them Billy and Biffy. Right. That's what we called them on the air. They were a top 40 team. They were blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And so we made them our enemies, and we would mock them and, you know, all that radio stuff. And I remember like thinking about them all the time, and this is Palm Springs. This is like the 140th largest market in the United States, and how much focus I had on these guys. And I said to him the other day, like, what do you think Billy and Biffy think of what has happened here? I mean, you know, it's got to be kind of weird. And it really puts things in perspective when you think about that, because they're just a series of Billies and Biffies along the way.
And how many radio stations did you get fired from or quit from?
Well,
like at least eight, right?
I got fired from, five of them, and
then you left a couple more.
I left two of them voluntarily.
And the other weird thing about your show is that it's very successful with a female demographic, and yet you made your bones on TV on The Man Show. That would have been hard to predict 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, when we got hired at ABC, they were going after young men, and that's right. why they hired me.
Yeah.
And then their programming changed entirely. All of a sudden, kind of Grey's Anatomy cast this halo over the network.
And The Bachelorette. And The Bachelorette. All that
and
stuff.
Dancing
yeah.
with the Stars.
What happened?
I don't know
this
what happened.
The last 10 years is amazing.
The network had a sex change is what happened. So we had to be considerate of that. And
yeah.
We had to stop deep frying penises on the show.
Could still do them once a year.
Every once in a while for a time's sake.
It is kind of crazy, though, when you think about how much ABC changed.
Yeah, it really did.
If you had told us in 2002, like, these are going to be the five most successful shows on your network over the next 10 years, we would all have been like, oh, we're screwed.
Well, not only that, if you think about it, like, my first experience with ABC is they produced the pilot for The Man Show.
Right.
That, I mean, that made it to their kind of final round of television shows. They were thinking about putting The Man Show on that network in 1999. And which I still think it would have done well on ABC. I still think it would have been so shocking to people that it would have made a mark. I mean, you have to remember, like, even like a few years later, Fear Factor became a big
True.
Hit for NBC, and our show was, you know, wasn't gross like that. It was, you know, sophomore.
You would have had a better chance, I think, then than maybe in 2012 on a network. Because
yeah.
now it's so obviously a cable show now, but I
yeah,
don't
right.
know if in the late 90s.
Yeah, I wanted it to be on ABC because I wanted to be like kind of the bad kid at the Catholic school, you know,
right.
rather than on Comedy Central where you already had South Park. You were never going to kind of top that as far as outrageousness goes.
And the only other thing that's really changed is you no longer follow football and you are one of the—
I really don't that much.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I don't pay much attention.
But you are like the world's preeminent food expert.
Yeah, I do. I'm more,
that changed.
You know what? It was really football that made that happen because I was so busy cooking the whole time
right.
that everyone was over watching football. I actually watch more football now than I used to.
Oh, that's good.
Because now I don't have a house full of people to cook for, and I can actually sit and watch.
Spilling tobacco dip on your rug.
I would say I probably watched more football this season already than I watched during a full season.
Oh, that's good.
Of everyone coming over and watching football.
Yeah. So, You've actually made friends with chefs.
Yeah,
in
I have
a circle of chefs.
Yeah, I mean the circle is only two chefs.
It's a triangle.
It's a triangle. I have two of my best friends are Adam Perry Lang, the barbecue chef.
Yes,
you know, and you know Chris Bianco, the pizza chef,
the greatest pizza maker in the
yeah.
planet.
Yeah, and I mean that to me is the greatest thing about hosting a show, being able to meet with an A,
yeah, yeah.
if you know what I'm saying, and learn how to cook from those guys.
So what was the single best moment of the first 10 years for the show?
The single best moment?
Yeah. You have to have one.
I do have one. And I don't know if you're going to like it, but I have one.
Yeah.
The day you left. No.
Oh.
The day Oprah came to town. I have to say, was a crazy day for me.
And you like totally bought into the cult of Oprah like within a couple hours, right?
I was inducted.
You were just overwhelmed.
It makes me scared. It makes me feel like if I go into one of those like Dianetic centers, I will come out a Scientologist. And it really is. It was amazing, though. I mean, it really was because I focused so much of my. When I was in college, I wrote like. This like before anyone was making any fun of Oprah,
right.
I wrote like a funny poem about Oprah and
right.
how I was in love with her, and it was like just this weird like thing, and I had a friend read it aloud, and I videotaped it, and it was like kind of the first comedy bit I ever wrote.
Yeah.
And then The Man Show was largely based on Oprah, and on the radio
it was
I
an
talk
Oprah
about,
backlash show almost
because my ex-wife watched Oprah, and I would come home from work, and she'd start yelling at me. For doing things that men on Oprah had done. And I was like, what did I do? And I started to think of Oprah as her troublemaking girlfriend. Like,
right.
Why does Oprah have to say bring this stuff up? And so there was a lot of focus for me on Oprah. And I expected when she came, I expected it to be kind of like, you know, a little bit uncomfortable. But I did not expect the like kind of just, I mean, really, like Oprah's, the charisma is, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's probably the dumbest thing ever to be surprised by this, but
right.
It's overwhelming. I mean, it's really like.
Like, she could be a politician, probably.
A politician. I mean, she could be the queen. I mean, it's like, she's like the sun. I mean, like, I met a lot of politicians. Like, I've never met anyone with that kind of, like, that had that kind of a positive effect on. And there are a few people, I would say, like, that I've met that have this just kind of, like, John Ritter was one of those guys. It's just got,
really?
Like, got a, just so friendly and. Henry Winkler is a guy like that who, you know, have just so much.
That's just for us, though, because he was the Fonz. You no. really think he's that charismatic?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
It's just, you can tell there. Tom Hanks has it, too. It's like,
yeah, that
you
makes
can tell,
sense.
Like, not only are they a big star whose work you admire, whatever, but they're just, like, very nice people, you know,
yeah.
like so nice that you feel like they're interested in you, and not just you, but every single person around there. In fact, I was, you know, I'm pretty nice in general, and I always think like, oh, I'm pretty nice. You see people like this, and you go like, I'm not that nice.
Right.
That is a level of nice that I don't think I don't think you can reach it artificially.
Would you put Cruz in that category?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would put him in that.
From an intensity.
I mean, this is a guy who, like, you could barely do a show with him because during the commercial break, he'll go out and shake every single person in the audience's hand, you know, and
that's
it's
crazy.
Like, you know, and you go, I don't know, you know, I'm obviously, I go, oh, what's with this, you know, what's going on here?
Right. Just,
but then you see it continue, and then you see it each time, and you see how happy it actually makes those people, and, you know, you go, it's hard to be cynical about it. It's like, hey, whatever. You know, you could read into whatever you think his reason for doing it, whatever. Fact of the matter is he's, like, doing it, and people are really happy about it when he does.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. I don't have that in me.
We have to go because you have to do...
I have to go to rehearsals.
Emmy rehearsal.
Yeah.
10 years ago in November, you dragged me to L.A. I'm still
That's
here.
That's right. I picked you up.
You told me I would never leave. I was like, oh, come on. I'll go back
eventually.
You're like, no, you'll never leave.
I knew it.
I'm
could tell.
Here.
I knew I had to get your wife on my side. That
yeah,
was,
you did.
I knew I had to get Carrie. And
yeah.
Once I did
yeah.
that, yeah. I picked you up
you're
in my
right.
Wagoneer.
Yeah, you mean your old Wagoneer. You're right. It was 75 degrees every day, as you promised.
Yeah. And I know, I just know how much you love this stuff. I mean, I know
yeah.
you're tickled by every minute of it.
How can you not be?
How can you not be? Do you remember when you and I fell in love, or when I fell in love with you from a distance? Was when you wrote a column and talked about the movie Fast Break.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Poster
and now
of which
it's behind you. See, everything comes full circle.
Is hanging behind me. And, and I really thought that my buddy Cleto, who's my band leader, and I were the only ones who'd ever seen that movie. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. Not only had somebody seen it, but like had every beat of it memorized.
Right.
And we should watch that sometime.
We should watch it here and do like a
Let's
director's
do it.
Commentary. That'd be fun.
I would love to do that.
Good luck with the Emmys.
Thank you very
Sunday
much.
Sunday night, 8 o'clock, ABC.
I'll
right?
be there, I think.
Yeah. You're going to kill
That's
it.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Happy birthday, Barry, to you. It's the Subway Surprise Birthday Party. And to celebrate, Subway is baking up a fresh new cookie with real cranberries, blueberries, and sweet white chips. It's the new Birthday Barry Cookie. Try it today and all September long. Subway, eat fresh.
Before we go, the fifth American professional sport launched on Wednesday, another season, The Challenge, MTV. The czar of reality TV, Dave Jacoby, who has not been making as many appearances on the BS Report as he usually did, because he has his own podcast now and his own Greatland Network,
yeah,
and his own YouTube channel,
and
two columns to discuss about this stuff.
Here's the thing: it's the first sport to me. In my mind, it's the first sport, and objectively, it's
Fair.
Now the fourth major sport in America because of the lockout.
You know what's funny? The MLS people get mad about the fifth American sport thing.
Really?
And they're like, well, where's that soccer? Are we sixth? Like legitimately mad. It's like, hey, MLS, you're behind the
yeah.
challenge.
Yeah, when TJ,
settle down.
When TJ Lavin starts hosting MLS games,
yeah.
then you can climb the ranks.
I don't care how many people are going to your Seattle Sounders
yeah, exactly.
games.
You don't have Johnny Bananas.
Yeah.
When he's playing keeper for the Portland Timbers,
right.
then I'm in.
People can't rattle off moments off the top of their head like CT and Adam
yeah,
getting
yeah,
in the
yeah,
fight
yes,
in
exactly.
the bunk bed rooms.
Exactly.
So,
what do you think of the premiere?
So, you're going to cover this with Juliet, right? You have a very good
yeah.
reality podcast
yeah.
with our friend Juliet
yes.
that I urge everybody to listen to if they want reality talk. But I think I want to talk about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course.
I thought the premiere was excellent.
I did too.
I love the new blood. I like the new faces. I like that there were no cliques, that no cliques.
No cliques either.
No cliques or cliques.
On paper, I didn't like it. On paper, I was like, where's Evan? Where's Bananas? Where's right. Mr. Beautiful?
Where are my staples?
What's happening? Like, why are you changing this? It's not broke. Why are you fixing it?
It's like taking a football season and just removing Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, and the Mannings.
When you see it, it's a whole new thing. It's exciting.
It's like just new gangs developing, new alpha dogs.
New people like, oh yeah, Mackenzie, I remember you. And there you are in a bikini. Great.
And as we've said many, 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 many times, the real world is a feeder system to the fifth American professional sport, The Challenge. And when Frank had his season on, San Diego 2.
Yep, second San Diego.
San Diego 2.
Yeah.
You know, we had our eye on Frank. We were like,
This
is a guy who potentially could be a Hall of Famer in The Challenge, but you don't want to jinx it.
If people forget about Frank, because he's very forgettable, but he was so drunk so often that they had an intervention. Like, they pulled him aside and they were like, dude, chill out. And then he went to therapy and then he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to curb my drinking. And do you know what he does on the first night in Turkey?
Bombed!
Slammered! I mean, he was just out there. Like, I don't even know what was going on. I just don't understand how you can get that drunk with cameras all over the place.
Also, there are multiple ways to just be slammered. Like, you have the, you're all over a girl.
Yes.
You have the just sloppy drunk.
Yeah, like the happy, affectionate guy.
Right.
You know, like, there's that guy, the generous guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Or there's, like, the guy that Brandon on that last Cancun season that I barely watched, like, the guy who immediately tries to have the personality switch and gets naked and jumps in the hot
tub. Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the guy who is just going to fight with whatever live body is near them.
He's just,
they just say terrible,
just
mean
super
things.
Super ragey. He's just so ragey, so violent, so dark.
Yeah.
Like when Sam, young lady from his season, made a comment, and you could see him pull up the mental vanilla folder in his mind, and he pulled out. He's like, Sam, okay, I've got Sam. Meanest thing I can say about Sam. Yep,
fat
there
girlfriend.
It goes. Yep, there it goes.
Fat
I'm gonna say that.
Boom.
Yeah, and he was, and then my favorite part was Zach, who looks a little bit like Thor mixed with John Riggins Tim Riggins.
Tim Riggins.
Yeah.
Thor mixed with Tim Riggins.
Yeah, that's what
Thor
he was.
Riggins.
Thor Riggins, exactly. He was, he had to hold Frank back from assaulting anything and everything and every person.
In kind of a homoerotic way, let's be honest.
I'm not going to touch that.
Okay.
But if Frank looks at him and goes, what? Zach, I didn't even fight a single person. It's like, well, Frank.
Yeah,
like it's not like you're free reign until you fight somebody.
Right, I forwarded you a good email from a reader who said that the real shame of this season is that CT wasn't in the house, because Frank, being an idiot, would have tried to do what he did to Wes. He saw Wes and he saw, oh, there's Wes. He's the most famous alpha dog guy in our house. I'm just going to be drunk guy and get in his face.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have worked with CT.
No. Here's a question for you.
I actually think he dies.
Here's a question I pose is, if the super drunk guy is trying to start a fight with you, is it okay to retaliate physically? You see what I'm saying?
According to Boone and Murray rules?
No. I mean, just human being code. Like, there's a part of you that's like, there's got to be like, look, he's asking for it. And there's a part of you that's got to be like, well, I'm kind of taking advantage of the fact that he has the motor skills of like a 3-month old.
You know
what I mean? So it's a moral quandary. I want to know where you stand on it.
I didn't think he crossed the line with Wes. I thought Wes handled it well.
Okay.
I think if there's saliva involved.
Well, Danny was about it.
Danny got tough with three people between them.
Yeah. And also, whenever Zach's around, nothing's going to happen. Zach, he's got the build of a refrigerator mixed with a Mack truck. Like, he's huge.
I didn't totally enjoy Zach overcompensating for the homophobia from his real world season by then.
That's what happened.
Kissing Frank.
Yeah. He watched his own season. He's like, I'm the homophobic guy. Like,
yeah.
And then he overcorrected. He overcorrected. He overcorrected.
Don't overcorrect.
Exactly. I loved John A's performance.
Yeah.
I loved it. There's something about having the girl or boyfriend back home and then going on one of these shows. It's like, you know damn well you're going to hook up with somebody else.
And then him being blindsided by the phone call.
Oh, I love the phone call.
We have 20 years of MTV evidence. Yeah, that phone call's not going
This is my favorite part. It's your John A. I'm the boyfriend. Say hi.
Hey.
Oh, hi. I miss you. I love you.
We got to talk.
About what, honey?
It was awful.
Yeah, she's just like, it's just like me and you not working.
Yeah.
She was so blunt about it. She did not use kid gloves during that breakup.
Did you hook up with somebody? Let's just say that it's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. This isn't for us.
Let's just say he's inside me right now.
If anybody ever says, honey, I'm going to go on the Real World Road Rules Challenge, what they're really saying is, honey, it's not working and we're going to break up.
It's nobody's
I'm
going to
cheat on you on national television.
Nobody's ever made it the whole time.
Nobody ever.
I can't remember it happening once. And if they're threatening to maybe make it through the whole season without cheating, that's when the producers start spiking their drinks with ecstasy.
Yeah. Just MDMA. Mollying up everybody.
Yeah.
What'd you think of TJ's performance?
TJ was great.
Solid.
He gave us a nice killed it.
Two killed it.
Oh, he gave it two.
Two
double
killed,
killed it.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. He's
To me, the storyline that got buried, I thought, was E.
Oh, Big Easy?
Big Easy.
Okay.
Big
Can
Easy
we talk
just,
about him?
Well, this goes back to my problem with the challenge. They obviously rigged the events.
See, now that's interesting because that was actually brought up by...
That was the one event where Wes had no chance whatsoever. So they picked physical and then they're like, oh, this would be the perfect time to do the one where we trap people in a...
If you haven't seen the show yet, they have four different categories of what what type of challenge it is. One of my favorites is one is mental and one is strategy.
Oh, that's interesting. What does that even mean?
I don't even... Yeah, what is the difference?
Same thing?
It's like, oh, do you want physical, mental, or strategy? Endurance, physical, mental, or strategy. It's like those are only two different things.
I thought it was interesting that they wanted to get rid of Wes but pick physical.
See, I don't think
mental. He's not a brain surgeon.
I'm throwing this out there. I don't think they rigged the challenge, and I'll tell you why.
They definitely rigged the first event.
No, they don't. They don't, and I'll tell you why.
Then you should have a list of
as the producer. Like, it's just so complicated, like to like at the drop of a hat to set up a whole different challenge. Like, I'm sure they already have the challenge built and it's on the ground already.
Keep living in
it takes aisle. It takes 24 hours to set that thing
they
up.
They wanted Wes out. They wanted some drama.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a little too important for Big Easy.
The win?
Like, getting rid of Wes was the greatest moment
of his life.
That he spent the last 2 years just brooding and had the Anchorman beard on and drinking milk about his last performance.
Yeah, watching it over and over again in the basement.
Yeah, just like being bummed out and he lost 70 pounds.
Look, I could never, ever, ever even pretend to get close to finishing the final challenge, right? But Big Easy couldn't climb a ladder.
Right.
Couldn't climb a ladder.
Couldn't do it twice.
Like a ladder.
Yeah.
Like a ladder. That's not exactly, you know, you're not exactly running a marathon. You're climbing a ladder.
So we had our draft for the Grand Lemuria, GRF. I can never get the
acronym.
Yeah,
nobody knows. It's the worst acronym in the history of acronyms.
I had the second pick over. I grabbed Frank. I couldn't believe he didn't go first.
It's
like leaving Michael Jordan on the table for me.
Ooh, what do you think about Alton? Quote unquote, I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life.
That was pretty interesting. But as he smoked like a Marlboro Light.
Yeah, he wore a winter hat in the middle of the summer.
So anyway, I loaded up on challenge people. And after watching the first show, I really think the Vegas people are going to win.
You do?
I think they have the best team.
You do.
Alton.
Anchored with Trishelle.
Trishelle
is a dynamo.
Just a warrior.
She was great. Two things about Trishelle. One, she said herself, I'm a professional poker player. I know how to read people.
Yeah, okay.
I'm really good at it. Yeah. And then Alton, about Trishelle, was like, she's so smart. She is so smart. She is a survivor. She's a warrior.
She's a survivor, right?
I was like, which Trishelle are you talking about?
She's a warrior. She's seen everything a person can see physically.
Yeah, I've seen everything that a person can see physically on Trishelle as well.
Yeah, and then Nani, who I was very happy to get with in the middle rounds.
That was
of the
a
draft.
Great. That was
I
a
like
steal.
Nani.
That was
and
a
then,
steal.
Dustin Frappad,
who looks like first of all, the greatest words in the English language are this season on the challenge.
And in this season, it seemed like Zach and Frank went right after Dustin Frappad.
Yeah. Oh, I love. Did you see the Zach Alton physical?
Yeah.
I mean, like that is. I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like the 86 Celtics playing the 86 Bears. It's just it's like apples and oranges.
It's a cheetah against an elephant.
Yeah, that's good.
Who wins? I don't even know.
I don't even know how it plays out. I have no idea. But you know what? I'm gonna watch.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch.
I have Vegas, and I just think that's a juggernaut. And it seems like what's the team that has CJ? Cancun or St. Thomas?
Oh, I don't remember.
They won that.
No, it's not St. Thomas. It's Cancun. I think it's Cancun.
Whoever won that last challenge looks like they're going to be sneaky good.
Yep. CJ, the punter.
Yeah, that's one.
Punter. Not only that, he came in with, instead of like his name across his chest in the Under Armour jersey that they all have, he has a BigfootKicking.com website.
I
may or may not have gone to BigfootKicking.com. Yeah. It's like a kicking camp for football kickers. God bless him.
Yeah, so really good season. Nice house. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Pool. You vote off. You have a four-man team, but only two people can get voted off, so people can hang around.
Big win for the country of Turkey, too. It looks great.
I think that Johnny Bananas, our friend who's been on this podcast for, very bitter on Twitter that he's not
taking
a lot of shots.
I look forward to talking to him about it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Really bitter, and I think he's bitter because he knows this is a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
And there also could be a little changing of the guard, potentially.
For sure, changing
of the
guard.
It's like one of those SNL seasons when all of a sudden, like, Will Ferrell and all these people show up. And it's like, oh, yeah, he ended up sitting there. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like I'm going to have Klosterman start guest hosting the BS Report for a month.
Oh, my God. How dare you.
See what happens.
I don't like that idea at all.
Did you get any Survivor?
I did.
It's all right. Zane was interesting. Blair from The Facts of Life is on it.
The problem with Survivor is just they've had too many seasons now. We're in this 25th season. I've seen every direction the show can go in except for babes versus studs.
You're just holding out for that.
And as usual, they did a bad job on the beauty department.
Yeah.
Because I was way too attracted to Blair from The Facts of Life. She's like 49. I was immediately like, I want to see her in a bikini. She's like 10 years older than I am. But it is what it is.
The problem is I watch the challenge, then I immediately watch Survivor afterwards.
It just seems, it's like
hot tub, cold pool. It's just ridiculous. Get me back in the hot tub.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous. This isn't working.
Do you think it'll be an hour and a half for the challenge every week? Because we've been pushing for that for a few years.
I can only hope, but I doubt it.
The first one was an hour and a half.
I know. I think they just blew out the first one.
We've been pushing for an hour and a half for years.
Yeah. I mean, 2 hours. The Challenge Network, 24/7 live cameras on the Challenge crew. I will never leave my house.
All right. Well, if you want to hear Challenge updates basically every week for the next 10 to 11 to 12 weeks, you can listen to Mr. Jacoby and our friend Juliet, who is becoming the queen of podcasts.
She's great.
There's really not a lot of competition either. It's a male-dominated forum.
She carries that hour every week.
So you can hear that on the Grail Network. And please make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we've worked very hard on, including it's Mr. Jacoby's Baby. Yeah. And we put a lot of good stuff on the first few weeks. We're very proud of it. YouTube.com/Grantland. We will be back next week on the BS Report. Watch the Emmys this week.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.